You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Good Friday, everybody. Fantasy Sports Network's Roto Experts, Jake Seeley, Corey Parson, NFL Combine news, fantasy baseball news, general talk, whatever. What'd you do for lunch, Corey? What do you got going on over there?
I had so much going on today, Jake. I didn't get a chance to sneak out and get lunch. I thought we was going to be doing this on video, so I didn't go get my dollar pizza. By the time I looked up, it was too late to scarf it down, and now we're not going to be on video, so now I went and got my dollar
pizza. We're not even on video. Like,
I see you sitting back, chilling.
Pushed further down the rung every time we turn around.
So there you go, right there. I didn't get nothing, but after this is over, I may. I don't know what I'm gonna do. It's the weather's too bad to go far. I might get a sandwich from across the street though, so I might do that.
Is it really that bad outside? I told you, we've got 30 sustained mile an hour winds.
That's
and
crazy.
Then we've also got gusts in the 50s, which I've always wondered why does the toilet in the toilet water get affected by that? I've never understood that. Have you ever noticed like it'll move and then it'll like sometimes start to lower the level?
I never noticed that. That's interesting.
Yeah, if it's ever really windy, it happens during hurricanes too. When it's like super windy out, if you go to the bathroom, you can know like in the toilet, the water will be moving at times. And then if you go in there like a couple hours later, you haven't used it. Sometimes the water level will have dropped.
I didn't know, man. I got to check for that now. That is news.
I want to know why.
That's interesting. I wonder why that affects that. And then last night I found this. This is crazy that you mentioned that. That the when you flush the toilet, the water goes clockwise. I never paid attention to that.
It goes counterclockwise in the southern hemisphere.
And this is all brand news.
You didn't know that? Yeah.
Nope.
Actually, all water in general. So all water in the northern hemisphere goes clockwise. All water, even a drain. Unless in a drain, you could force it to start going in the other direction, but like natural, it'll go counterclockwise in the southern hemisphere.
Wow, that's interesting.
So, there you go. A little science fact for you there.
Yeah, Bill Nye, the science guy.
Being that
we're not on YouTube, should we save the Braddock story?
Yeah, I guess so, because that looks like it's going to have to be a OT discussion now.
Yeah, we have to do it then. I remember the first part of it, but the crazy part was when I woke up from my nap. I was like, "What's going on?"
You didn't know what was happening?
I was just like, "Yo, I woke up from my nap. My phone was going crazy, and I'm like, what? I'm getting ready. I forgot what exactly it was that I was doing. I know I took a nap because obviously that's just football season. We was getting up early and stuff like that, and I came in and I got some rest. And I think I took a longer rest. Maybe I was going out somewhere that night or something. This happened in the football season, so my homie had already passed away, so I don't know who I would have been with. But I feel like I was getting ready to do something that night, but I was so thrown off when I saw like all the text messages and stuff like that. I was like, yo, what the hell is going on? That was crazy day. But yeah, I guess we got to save that or we'll do that on the OT.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do that on the OT. It's funny, like the one specific person. So there's multiple people that have asked about it. There's one person on Twitter that keeps asking me about it. He goes, "I know you're lying to me. You're not going to talk about it." It's like, it's not my problem. Like, we were off yesterday because of new equipment, and now today we're not on video, so we're not on YouTube for all the people that want to be asking. So he thinks I'm probably going to be ducking the story.
Nah, but it's out there. We'll get into it. Because hopefully we shouldn't have too much. Well, we'll have a lot of combine recap stuff on Monday, and then
we got some of that right now too. Did you see Saquon Barkley's vertical?
No, I didn't see it. I haven't been able to see anything. It's been a wild day, Jake, as you can imagine. But no, I didn't see. I'm about to put on NFL Network, NFL.com right now.
Saquon Barkley, who weighs 233 pounds, is over 6 feet tall. You know what his vertical was?
What?
41 inches.
That's crazy.
David Johnson's was 41 and a half, which everybody had, like, people were going bananas over at the time.
Yeah.
And now Saquon Barkley is especially, he's basically testing in the top 5% of everything so far.
Yeah, exactly. But like across the board, like every position, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Well, I was going to say he's like top 5% of all time for running backs. But yeah, like 29 reps, he's beaten out offensive linemen.
Yep.
Vertical at 41, that's probably going to outdo most wide receivers. Yeah, I mean, the only thing that's left is if he runs a 4.4 40, like even a 4.45 40, like if he runs in that range, people are going to, like, Twitter will just shut down.
No, it's a lot. Okay, they got it on. They got some live coverage. I'm connecting. Look like I'm connecting right now.
You're looking right now?
Yeah, and then I got to work this weekend too, but I have it on in the control room, so that'd be.
Barkley, 41-inch vertical at 233 pounds. David Johnson hit 41.5 at 224.
Yeah, wow. This is like, he's an extremely talented. Where's he from? Like, original birthplace?
Like, hometown?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm interested to see where that is because it's a pedigree of athlete there.
Oh, he's from the Bronx.
He's from the Bronx. Oh, wow. That's great. It's not that pedigree of athlete in the Bronx. Wow.
Not usually.
What school did he go to? Penn State High School? Well, he went to high school in Pennsylvania. So he got him up out of there because I guess they feel they... Because you're not really... you really don't see high school. The Bronx creates high school basketball players, not football players. So, wow, that's interesting. So I wonder why... I wonder... So he probably moved high school. Yeah. Yeah, so Whitehall, Pennsylvania. So this guy is just like... Well, you know, he has the pedigree of... Well, I guess you really can call that pedigree being Iran Barkley's nephew, but Iran Barkley was a boxer. This right here is like an all-world athlete right here. So this is wild.
Yep. 21 years. The broad jumps are on now, and then I think we'll probably get the 40s. What do you think? Like 2 or 3 o'clock?
Yeah, probably about that time. I was hoping to be home for that. I know to watch the 40-yard dash.
Happen?
That's
is that
crazy.
Not gonna happen.
It may not happen today. I may have to hang around a little bit, so we'll see what happens. I do want to, like I said, I got to do that tomorrow. Got to be producing these shows, so I want to get a little quick freshening up before I step in there by myself. Are you doing anything this? Are you doing any shows this weekend?
Not shows.
Okay.
That's shit. My church is having their women's conference this weekend. Started last night.
Okay.
So I've been helping out at that with the sales table.
Okay, so that's cool. So you do that tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, it was last night, tonight, and then tomorrow during the day and tomorrow night.
Okay, cool.
It's huge. It's the men's conference does about like 1/4 of what they do. The women are crazy.
Oh, you know that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Trust me, I know that. Being up here and going for so many years and stuff like that. And then all the people I know. So, yeah, you're right. The men's conference is not going to do as much, which is always, I always found that interesting, but, you know, to each his own.
Yeah, it's surprising. I think that just women are more social with each other.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, like we guys hang out. Like, you know, normally, like, we have, like, what, 2 or 3 close friends?
Yeah.
Like, girls just go out in packs, like, normal. Like, that's what they do.
I know. It's so funny that you mentioned that because, like, if I don't have, like, homeboys that I've not, like, worked with or went to school with, like, I just don't, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I know you from somewhere. It's the reason why I know you. But, like, I was talking with my homegirl. When I went down for the Cowboy game. And she was giving me a ride back to the hotel. And she was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And she was like, and I went to Myrtle Beach. And then I met, she went to Myrtle Beach. And the girl that was working at the front desk at the hotel, the two of them are like best friends now. And I'm like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just randomly meet people that have never been a part of your life before, and now they're like your homies. Like, I'm not gonna meet like a dude at checking out of a hotel and me and him gonna be going having beers next month. You feel what I'm saying? That's wild to me. It's like, you're right.
I definitely understood that. All right. So
Jake, let me ask you this. The NFL Now live team on NFL.com doing the coverage. Lance Zierlein is a part of it. When did Lance get out the fantasy industry?
I think Lance Zierlein's always been like mixed in.
So
as far as
this is, I mean, you don't really see fantasy dude in a spot like this. You feel what I'm saying? Or is he not? I know he does more NFL stuff now.
Yeah, I think he was pure fantasy.
Okay,
though.
And you never thought he was pure fantasy. Okay, cool. There
you go. I always kind of considered him like he has some fantasy takes, but he was kind of more of an NFL guy.
Okay, all right, got it. Cool. I thought I, for some odd reason, I had him more of a, as a fantasy guy for a while. Just like what's the homie out there that covered the Broncos? Right for football guys too, though.
Oh, Alex Miglio?
Yeah, no, not Alex Miglio.
No, oh, the other one. Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about.
Radio dude and all of that.
Cecil Lammy.
Cecil Lammy. Yeah, now I know he's more of a pure NFL guy, but he got a good fantasy pedigree.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so there's actually some other football news I want to talk about, so you'll be happy about that. Real quick, though, before we get into it, I want to just let everybody know, if you love drafting your fantasy team, and imagine drafting a real professional fantasy team. The Fan Control Football League is bringing fantasy sports in Madden franchise mode to a real football field. Fans will scout players, draft rosters, hire coaches, call plays, and more. The FCFL, which is what it's being called, will feature 8 professional teams playing 7-on-7 fast-paced indoor football. The real football over here. High-tech production studio built for a digital audience. This is next generation of fantasy football where fans get rewarded for dominating through the league's proprietary fan token. To learn more about fan token FCFL, visit FCFL.io. So, Corey,
yo,
we got everything going on with the combine. And one of the teams talking about these running backs, probably looking and considering things, and also if the fact that he's even talking about Barkley there when they pick with their first pick. So we got word that the Colts are moving on from Frank Gore, that he might finally be done.
Yeah, they're moving on. They're moving on, right? So they're not going to bring him back. They've already told him that Frank Gore has been around for a while and has been very good, takes care of his body very well. I've told you something about the Instagram photo with Frank for Frank Gore and Jay-Z.
No.
Frank is I don't know, is either on, it's probably on Frank Gore's Instagram. It's a picture of him, I guess, like backstage in like a locker room area or something like that. And it has a picture with him and Jay-Z. Frank Gore did not request the picture. Jay-Z did.
Really?
Yeah, that's crazy, right? So he's like that kind of, like, people like a lot of respect for Frank Gore. Do you see, I think it could be over. Something tells me he would probably still want to play and, you know, give it a, see if he has a couple more seasons left. I could see the Seahawks taking a shot.
I can see a couple things, but it's going to be as a backup.
Yeah, no doubt. He's not a top of the timeshare guy anymore.
You think that he's going to be happy to do that, or you think he'll just be in the fact of like, you know what, I've done enough. If I'm only going to be a backup, I don't really want to waste my time anymore.
I don't know. I think that, you know, especially for the Colts, I'm quite sure he was very important to the young players on that team, veteran presence, stuff like that. And then he can kind of, like, it's a lot of dudes that's in the league that's just like veterans that are there to be like a veteran presence and stuff like that, good locker room guys. So if he wants to continue in that role and, you know, be around the team and stuff like that and, you know, mentor and tutor some of the younger players and stuff like that, because a lot of players do like that, like for what's your man from Louisville, the wide receiver, used to play for the Falcons. He was like that for a while. He just wanted to be around. If Frank Gore wants to do that, then I can see that. But if he wants to have a role as a player, then, you know, I think he might just go ahead and hang him up and call it quits and then get ready for 5 years from now and go into the Hall of Fame. First ballot, Frank Gore.
You think first ballot? You think he'll get in?
I think people will say compiler, but the numbers are too big. Yeah.
They are too big. He is a compiler. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, I'm kind of with you. It's too big. All right. So continuing with the running backs, and it's a good draft if you're considering running backs. So the Redskins VP, I thought this one was interesting, Corey. He said, no doubt we do need a running back upgrade.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, especially with the fact that they already have Samaje Perine from last year.
Okay. Yeah, and I think we saw at times at the end of last year where Perine looked like he had flash. But when we did the combine show, everybody could check it out on the FNTSY YouTube, I was asking Lisi and Sermonello about Perine. And both of them were like, yeah, they kind of saw this coming. Not really, you know, the fumbling issues, doesn't really run hard all the time. That Perine's a player that has to continue to develop. So I think Washington wants somebody that they can stick in there now. Do they go in the first round? No, but I can see them going in the second round. I figure they're going to add a running back, and that running back will probably be a top of the timeshare guy.
See, it's a little bit more surprising to me because, like, P. Ryan, you know this. I said he's like Alfred Morris. So you get, they got their plotter. He's above a plotter, but they got their power back. And then you have Chris Thompson, which we know from fantasy was a terrific pass catcher and a terrific player for what that a weapon in that offense. Mm-hmm. My thought is, is Chris Thompson not? Do they not think he's going to be ready and back to 100% for next year? Because me, like looking at it, I'm saying you got P. Ryan and Thompson. I mean, all you really need is a backup as a third option. I mean, just because Rob Kelly's not that good, I didn't really see it as let's already move on from P. Ryan that fast.
Yeah, I was hoping not. Chris Thompson definitely will get that third down work, but I can see them wanting to bring somebody in. I think P. Ryan will still be mixed in, but I don't think I wasn't impressed, and I don't think Washington was impressed either. So, Chris Thompson will definitely be there. We asked Dr. A about Chris Thompson because Chris Thompson's injury looked serious. But we asked Dr. A about him a couple months ago, and Dr. A said he should be good to go for the start of the season.
I'll be interested. You know who was high on P. Ryan?
Who? Emory?
Emory Hunt.
Yeah, he was high on. He said P. Ryan was better than Mixon. Remember that?
Yeah, you remember that. Uh-huh. That was the one thing we got an argument on. That was the one few players where we had a big disagreement on this year. So it'd be interesting to. I'm excited. I want to make sure we can do that draft special because there's already a few players. Both he and then I was watching almost the entire show. You guys, when you did the combine special, you see that there's already a few players that like not. Calling Lisey crazy, but I can see where we have some differences. It'd be a good discussion. But we're going to hit a break. We're going to come back. Some more football news as going on in the combine and stuff to get into. And then we do have some baseball and then possibly a Paul Sport. We'll see. Maybe. Stay tuned.
Cool.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell Greg Sussman say.
Watch Craig Carton live, the top 8 at 9 on Twitch.tv from the Fantasy Sports Network Studio 34 every Monday through Thursday at 9 o'clock Eastern. Do you want to be a part of the show? Take part in the Twitch chat room and give me your opinions or call in 844-84-FNTSY. Go to Twitch.tv/Craig Carton live and get in on the action. Come get some. It's Craig Carton live, the top 8 at 9, only on Twitch.tv. TV.
Play on Fantasy Draft, the only daily fantasy site where every head-to-head contest is rake-free, including contests you create. Fantasy Draft also gives you the ability to block up to 25 players from entering your head-to-head contest. With a $1 million prize pool and $200,000 to the winner, Fantasy Draft is running their inaugural NFL Live Final, the Carolina Million. Sign up today at FantasyDraft.com with promo code FNTSY and experience players first for yourself. Fantasy Draft, daily fantasy on a level playing field.
Hey, I'm Jeff. Look, I'm just a skeleton. I don't have an ACL anymore, but I still like to know what it means when one of my fantasy players sprains his. That's why I use the Inside Injuries app. It was created by real doctors, so you're getting information directly from people who have seen, touched, and operated on actual ACLs. Take it from me, a skeleton. If you aren't using it, you might as well just be guessing. Download the free app today and unlock the secrets of injury analysis.
Fantasy Sports News Desk, sponsored by New York Daily News.
Kiss was far and away my favorite band. I love Led Zeppelin, I love Queen, but I also love the Bee Gees and love Saturday Night Fever.
I love Saturday Night Fever.
Maybe the greatest soundtrack of all time. I think How Deep Is Your Love might be my favorite ballad of all time.
How deep is your love? Your love. I like that.
Yeah, and you're ruining it. Thank you.
Come on, man. You're not nice.
I'm a bad man.
Weekdays, 6 a.m. Eastern. Saturdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone, we promise. No weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts, Jake Seeley, Corey Parson. You digging the 8-bit hip hop?
Yeah, this is 8-bit. What's the name of this jam again? This was the jam.
Next episode.
Excuse me. This is the 8-bit. The next episode. I didn't know they had 8-bit. The next episode. That's cool.
They got a lot of 8-bit stuff. Chris Pavone is the master of finding this stuff.
I love it.
This is what you turned in like we did on Tarja. The 8-bit stuff. I told him we were taking over Roto Experts. We're doing 8-bit music this week.
I love it. Let's do it.
Put the hip hop together for you.
Yeah.
But real quick, before we get back to the combine. If you're looking for DFS, by the way, for you guys, Fantasy Factor, perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player, flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor also runs free rolls in NBA and NHL every week, free entry to those. So sign up and enter. It's www.fantasyfactor.com. Corey, I want to get back to Saquon Barkley real quick.
What are you doing now?
So Jonah Tolles NFL is his Twitter handle. Let me give this guy credit for what he was tweeting. Oh, he's an NFL draft analyst for anywhere else. NFL Network. No surprise here. ND Scouting. He's got a logo behind him. I assume that was the NFL. I don't know. Can you be doing that? Can you put up the NFL draft logo behind your name if you're not with the NFL Network? Can you do that?
That's interesting. I don't know.
But anyway, so ND Scouting, and he said, and I agree with him, Saquon Barkley just 405 power clean, 405-pound power clean for Saquon Barkley. He is not human. I 100% agree.
That is crazy. He did it at 405. Yeah, you're talking about a different level athlete right here in Barkley. I mean, you got this dude right here coming at you full steam in the fourth quarter. It's like, oh no, you got to be kidding me.
We have two teams. Cowboys were out of the playoffs at the top of the draft where they didn't expect to be, bounced right back. Jaguars, they were expected to be at the top of the draft, but along with their defense and Leonard Fournette, got into the playoffs almost to the Super Bowl. If the Giants really do want to turn things around quickly, and they really do believe Eli Manning still has 2 or 3 years left, and you see what Saquon Barkley is doing, he has to be the pick at number two, does he not?
If he's not the pick at number one. Here's the thing about it. You know Hugh Jackson loved running backs, too. Going into the season, the Giants were a Super Bowl favorite. And then you got two dynamic players on offense in Barkley and Beckham. That right there is a hard tandem. Now you have to worry. But the quarterback is the most important position on the field in the NFL.
Right.
And when you take that into consideration, then it kind of becomes like, okay, well, you got this quarterback situation with with Eli Manning. So what do you think is more important? Getting a quarterback? It's like the Jalen Ramsey. This Jalen Ramsey and Zeke Elliott thing.
Right.
Do you take Barkley here and get the quarterback later on, and the quarterback is suffice enough and work with Shermer and be a guy that can game manage and put Barkley and Beckham in good situations? Or do you go hit the home run with the quarterback and try to get the other back later? See, that's what I was saying. It's tough to leave this guy on the board. It really is.
No, I definitely understand. And that's the one that you took the one that I throw out to you all the time. Would you rather have Ezekiel Elliott and whatever that guy is that I can never remember for the Cowboys because he's insignificant at this point?
Yep.
And I think he's D-line or offensive line? Either way. Or would you rather have Jalen Ramsey and Jordan Howard? And I think everybody would say Jalen Ramsey and Jordan Howard. So now you kind of have to look at it like this. If you're the Giants, do you take Saquon Barkley and whatever you get in the third or the fourth round? Or would you rather either trade down or take like Quentin Nelson and help your offensive line, which is just abysmal, and then draft Sony Michel or Nick Chubb, or, you know, I mean, we could go down the list, the white kid, or like, I mean, like, being his last name, not his.
Yeah,
name.
Yeah. I'm about to say Jake like, going there again today.
Yeah. I think that's the big question. I you know where I stand, Corey. It's hard to ignore and just like, oh my God, look at this talent. Look at this generational talent. I mean, the fact that, I mean, just think of it. Like, obviously, we're projecting a lot here, but if I told you there's a chance, and like there's an 80% chance he's going to be better than Ezekiel Elliott, and Leonard Fournette. To say you're going to pass up on that, that's,
can't
that's
do
just
it.
Tough.
Yeah. I think, I mean, you look at the, some of the backs that have come into the league, Gurley, Zeke, and now this kid, that's it, right? I ain't miss nobody. Yeah, Gurley, Zeke, and this guy. It's like, it's almost like we're getting to like a running back renaissance in the NFL right now. And then you got Kamara, a player like we've never seen before, what he's able to do between the tackles and catching. Kamara's like Marshall Faulk, you know, and right. It's souped up, you know what I mean? So, and then you bring this kid right here into it, and he this guy can flat out go. We've seen the dynamic runs that he's put together. So, and it's other good running backs in this draft class too. I see, Jake, you talk about Geis, and I was asking Lisi and Sermonello about this. Geis, okay, people say he was banged up in the offense at LSU, obviously always on the more abysmal side. But he played in all the games, and he really had a big dip in production. Like, he carried the ball more, but had 1,000 yards less of total offense. That's a red flag to me.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think it's the fact that I take it more as he played every single game, not 100%.
Okay.
I kind of give him a credit for that. And even at less than 100%, if you watch some of the games, you watch some of the tape, as much as the numbers that Barkley is putting up, you want to talk about somebody that's just going to take your helmet off if you try to square him up.
Oh,
like, Geis is just going to run. Like, see, here's the thing is, Barkley has some of the greatest elusiveness you'll ever see, and he does have power and can run through tackles. But he'll run. This is what I try to explain to people too, and I do it every single year when you're evaluating players. When I say run through tackles or run through a player, that's two different things. You know what I'm saying. So running through a tackle is like somebody's starting to wrap you up, and he slips off of you, or he's got an arm around you, something like that. Geis will square you up and run you over and then keep going.
That's like your man. It's a difference between like Zeke knocking the hand off his thigh, you know what I'm saying, as to what's the big man y'all had, the Giants? The dude that can't stand. Yeah, and then Brandon Jacobs running somebody
Brandon
over.
Brandon Jacobs like could get like a finger and he'll fall over anyway. No, but see, you know, you brought up Zeke, and that's the thing. It's like Saquon Barkley, for everything that he's doing in the measurables, he's not Ezekiel Elliott in that fashion. Like, Ezekiel Elliott will run through people too.
Yeah.
But Saquon Barkley's not quite that. Like, Ezekiel Elliott has more running power than Barkley does.
Yeah, and I think it was, I don't know. I think you're right. He has more running power, and I think, but see, Barkley might be a better runner. Like, Barkley's ripped off some fantastic runs, and the way he runs the football, he's like a lot of power. Like you said, the elusiveness of Barkley is something that I don't even think we've seen that with Adrian Peterson in Adrian Peterson's hay.
No, and by the way, we have it. We have Barkley's 40. You ready for his first 40?
What was it?
4.41.
That's good right there. That's good. That's where he wants to come in at. So that 4.4 right there, he's looking more. That power-speed combination that he has is very impressive.
4.41.
Yeah.
I can't get over this. The dude cleaned 405, 41 and a half or 41 inch vertical, bench 29, checks in over 6 feet tall, 233 pounds, and then he runs a 4.41. You know what I would want to do if I'm the Giants is trade down and get more picks after seeing what the Bears did last year and what they gave up just to move up that one spot or two spots or whatever it was. At the same time, if the Giants drafted Barkley,
you wouldn't be mad. Wouldn't be mad. You'd be like, okay, we might win Super Bowl and shit. But no, he's a difference maker. You could tell already. But see, do you think you have the offensive line to pull it off?
I think they need to address that. No, as of right now, they don't.
Yeah,
there's no question they don't. But if they go out there and they sign Norwell from the Panthers and they re-sign Justin Pugh and then bring in some head, like, they could address it. It's just, it's whether or not you want to address it with a short-term outlook and a little bit of a future or permanently for the future.
Yeah, and see, the last 40 he ran, I'm just reading this on Barkley, the last 40 he ran was 4.6. So he's come down in that time real good. So I don't know, like, maybe he was that before he committed to Penn State or something like that. He's a hell of an athlete.
You know what Fournette ran last year?
What the Fournette ran what?
4.5.
Huh? 4.5?
Yeah. 4.5 flat.
4.5 flat, yeah. Fournette is not really the big speed back anyway. I was impressed with Fournette this year. I didn't think Fournette was going to do that well.
I did. I think. See, but that's here. Let's go back to this. Similar to Geis. I think it's actually a great comparison is the injuries is Fournette. But see, now do you want to invest in somebody who could potentially be like Fournette that successful, but also missing potentially that much amount of time where every single week is like, or is this kid going to be healthy or not?
Yeah. So I think we got to, I guess next week or so we'll get Dr. A to break down some of these dudes and try to get to their full injury history. Like, for example, like we knew John Ross wasn't going to be nothing in the fantasy circles this year because we knew the knee, that John Ross knee might be chronic. He ran that 40-yard dash, and he fooled those people. So good for him when he got his money. But John Ross may never be able to get on the football field consistently. But I was worried about the injury with Fournette, and I just was worried about the running, the physical running style. So I would like to see, what was Geis's main injury red flags coming into the combine?
I think it's just the multiple bang ups from this year.
It's beat up, yeah.
I don't think it's just one specific like it's not like a John Ross factor where it's like, hey, you have to worry about this being degenerative. Actually, I would, if you gave me both, and like you said, if you told me Geis was going to have the season Fournette had,
I would
take Geis, but because Fournette's got, he's not the Ross level, but it's always in that ankle range.
Yeah, it's
the ankle and the foot.
Yeah.
And so because it's always located there and it's now been a problem, and one of them twice, that now you're kind of like, this is kind of like a knee thing in basketball. Like, it's happening multiple times. I don't want to get involved with that.
Yeah, and then that could shorten a career and stuff like that if you keep seeing those injuries. Jake, I think when you do your projections for next season for the NFL, I think like when you project Fournette, you project out at like 13 games, right?
I was about to say it's about 13, maybe 14 if I want to be aggressive, because normally unless you've had zero history of injuries and you're less than 5 years in the NFL, I generally for running backs project all of them at 15 games anyway.
At 15 anyway.
Like I don't usually go 16 unless, like I said, like David Johnson, and it ended up being a mistake, not last year because he had already been hurt, but the year before when he first got hurt the first time at the last game of the season.
Yeah.
Like I'll project somebody like that 16 games. You know, that makes sense. David Johnson's second full year, no injury problems, it's moving up to something like that. But most running backs, if any time you're in your fourth, fifth year, or you have any type of history, you start at 15 and tick down from there.
Yeah, I think that's where you got that. That's the best way to go about it because that's a tough position. And then we've already seen the athlete in Fournette start to
I can't get over this Barkley thing.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley is a beast. He's a beast. I wish I can get this joint on TV. I mean,
you can get it to pop up.
It's on the computer, but
they don't have it on in the bar for you.
Nah, they got the big. They watching reruns of the Big Ten tournament. They got the Big Ten network on in the bar.
Well, there's one game that's on right now. They got the Michigan State game on. That's not a rerun.
Oh,
that
that's live. Oh, yeah, that's right. Today is what day? Today is Friday. Yeah, so that would be the live Friday afternoon. Here. Yeah, so that's on.
Still, that doesn't need to be on all of them. It's only one game.
No, that's on, and then you got Stephen A. and Max Kellerman debating each other.
Okay, real quick. This has nothing to do with anything fantasy related, but I never understood that in bars, like why you have on talk shows
those
in
debate
bars,
shows that you can't hear.
What are you putting them on TV for?
Yeah, I don't understand that either. I guess they just lock it on ESPN and leave it there, figuring some kind of live sports to come up at some point.
And most of on ESPN at these days, not you're going to get what? That throughout the day and then that show from Miami with his stupid dad, you know what I'm talking about?
You don't like what's my man name? Bomani and the real big writer down there from the Herald. What is his name? I liked that show. Dan Le Batard. I liked that show, but I think that the act is getting old. The father at first was hilarious, but now I'm like, I can't watch this no more.
And it's too much now.
Yeah, and then what's the other one? With a ding and one of them drops off the set. That show right there, Around the Horn.
Around the horn.
Show right there is horrible.
Really?
Yes, that show was terrible.
I always kind of liked it. I don't like it. Like, I stopped watching it the last year or two. But I liked it. Like, it's all of those. The only one that's been consistent is, like, still the same show you remember from 5 years ago is PTI.
PTI's good.
Yeah. Around the Horn, I used to record it and watch while I was working out. But
oh, wow.
The past year or two, I agree with you. Now it's kind of, it's like they're trying to do themselves, but do themselves like too much now.
Yeah, everybody on that joint is
like
trying to be a celebrity.
Exaggerated.
Yeah, everybody's going for that celebrity mold, the hottest of the hot takes and stuff like that. But PTI has been consistent, like you said, and they got two veteran journalists that work with each other real well, and Will Bond and Kornheiser. That show right there does not get old. They do a good job with that. That's one of the better sports talk shows.
I'm surprised they're still doing as well as they are, honestly, though. Because millennials is what I'm saying. Like, like they're old, as we know, and they were already old for us.
Yeah,
So I just don't understand. That's always been a surprise to me. By the way, baseball news for you. Drew Pomerantz is getting checked out by the trainer coming out of the game. So hope you're not drafting. Don't draft Drew Pomerantz right now. Darius Geis runs a 4.49.
Yeah, 4.49. So, Jesus.
So he's about 10 less pounds, than Barkley, and wasn't it? Oh my God! They're like people, I'm telling you, the Twitter is just gonna be like gaga over Barkley for the next month or two.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. They got to hurry up and get to the draft, and then get him in OTA so we can see what he really can do. 4.6 for Kyle Hicks, the guy on the computer now. PT, you know You know why when Michael Wilbon was put into the national spotlight?
Yeah. You think that helped?
No, I said, do you know when what took place to move him into the national spotlight?
No, it was NBA-related.
He was on it was the death of Lynn Bias.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he might have been working. I think he might have been covering the Terps when that happened. And I think then that story right there, people started checking for him after that, and they realized how talented he was.
No, I didn't know that. I knew he was like big basketball, but I didn't know that was his like breakout.
Yeah, that was his breakout when Lynn Bias passed. I think he was real close with the Bias family from like before that happened. So it was like he was all over the story and had information and stuff like that. Now I remember when that happened, Jake. That was crazy.
Yeah, I don't think I was too young.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It was like you was expecting, like he was supposed to be like Michael Jordan. Like he was going to be the guy, Lynn Bias. And then after the draft, he wasn't the guy no more. He had an overdose. It's crazy.
That is crazy. Nick Chubb checking in around 4-5, just over 4-5, which is actually pretty good coming off knee injury and stuff like that.
Must be on a delay.
Nyheim Hines, 4.39, fastest one yet. All right, we're going to hit a break here. We're going to come back, maybe talk baseball. We're going to see if we can get Paul Sport to join us in the Roto Experts, Jake and Corey.
Muscle Maker Grill was made for baseball season. Muscle Maker Grill supplies you with delicious, healthy meals that will give you energy to cheer on your team week after week. Whether you're craving flavorful salad, packed wraps, or guiltless entrees, Muscle Maker Grill has you covered. Hosting a game? No problem. Our catering packages will have your whole team satisfied with flavors ranging from Italian to Tex-Mex and much, much more. Visit MuscleMakerGrill.com for your nearest location and have a winning season.
Fantasy Football Frenzy.
Andrew Luck is supposed to be working well back to shape, and they're saying that he's going to be ready and in camp throwing the ball by the time they get to organized team activities. We heard similar things last year like this, but it does seem like we're pushing in the right direction with Andrew Luck finally.
That was 4 years ago. He put up 40 touchdowns. What are our reasonable expectations here?
I think he's a generational talent. If I was to start a franchise, and I know he's healthy, I would start a franchise with him. I think he could be the best quarterback in the NFL.
Listen live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 immediately. That's 800-955-3793. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-955-3793 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-955-3793. That's 800-955-3793. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 for your free author submission kit.
yet. Fantasy.
I forget the reason why Giancarlo became Giancarlo.
I don't know if you ever gave a reason.
I mean, the name is just a lot cooler than Mike.
Yeah, right?
Giancarlo.
There was also another Mike Stanton, right?
Giancarlo Florio.
No, I can't pull off the Giancarlo.
Like,
I can't pull that off.
Yeah.
You can find another name like that.
It would be more like Seamus or something. Like
Seamus Florio. That's a badge.
Jaquiz. Just make a name up.
Didn't you want to name your kid Jaquiz?
Yes, I did.
Jaquiz Florio.
Jaquiz Florio could work.
Weekdays, noon Eastern on FNTSY Radio and live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.
Skick's sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skick's canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable, whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skick's helps fans perform better. Go to Skick's.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skick's.com. Skick's sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
Gotta wait for a board. There you go. It's Roto Experts, Jake Seeley, Corey Parson. No Paul Sport yet. Maybe we'll get him at some point. Talk some baseball if we can get a hold of him. I know he's coming from the doctors and trying to figure it out. I just texted him, hold on, I got the little three bubbles, Corey. Oh. So you know that means that, yeah.
Hey, let me tell you those three bubbles. When sometime when I don't have to wake up early the next morning or it's the weekend or something like that and I'm feeling pretty good and I text a young lady, you up? The you up text, and when you see those three bubbles, you're like, yes! That's when I like to see those three bubbles.
Yeah, have you ever seen the three bubbles and then like nobody responds?
Oh yeah, aggravating. That's aggravating too.
What are you, like, fake Jacob? What were you typing?
Yeah. Are you up or not? Like, you know, that's kind of like. I hate the three bubbles and nothing pops up. It is like, did you change your mind?
No, we got Paul now. It sounds like you eating chips, Paul. What are you doing over there?
I didn't know you guys could hear me. Sorry, geez.
He's Paul Spohr, follow him at Spohr, one of the best baseball minds in the business. Is also, so like I did, take part in the Black Book by Joe Bizzapia. If you want to go, make sure you buy that out. He did all the pitching, which is probably the best part about the book, right?
Oh, thanks. I agree, but I appreciate you saying that, acknowledging the truth.
Have you ever got the three bubbles in a text response to you, and then the person doesn't respond, and you're wondering what the hell's going on?
You know damn well I haven't. If they put in some bubbles, they're going to respond. No, I'm just kidding. Of course I have. Any guy that says they haven't is full of crap. I don't care if you look like Ryan Gosling and you're the smoothest dude out there. Everybody's gotten the three bubbles and then the back out. They were going to say something and then they backed off. We don't know. Who knows? You know, did they change their mind? Did they have something snarky? Were they just going to tell you to buzz off? Were they down for it? And then their homegirl swooped in and said, no, don't go hang out with him. You never know. But we've all gotten the three bubbles. Don't act like you haven't.
All right, then let me ask you real quick before we get to the pitchers, Paul. Which is worse, seeing the red, like, so the notification that your text message has been read and the person hasn't responded, or getting the three bubbles back out? Which one's worse?
I would say the red, because, again, in my mind, I can just sit there and say, homegirl put the block on and just said, no, you stay with us or don't go hang out with him or something like that. I can pretend that a third party is what stopped the girl in question. But if you get the red, it means she looked at it, said, nah, and then went back about her business.
Yeah. I don't like the red with no reply. That's like, what's going on, Paul? I don't like the red with no reply, because that's like, yeah, am I not good enough for you to reply to me? Like, what part?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can't even tell me to buzz off. You got nothing. They're telling you that you are not worth their finger energy to just put in a little bit of a response. So yeah, I agree. The red is the worst. At least with the bubbles, they tried. They might have tried something. Maybe they were too drunk to put together something coherent. You can come up with a lot of reasons to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
But on the red,
no.
None of it feels good.
No, none of it feels good with the red. See, here's the thing about the red. If I see the red and then you don't reply back, the next time we hear from each other, you're going to be texting me. Because if I get a red and no reply, I'm not double texting.
It's done.
Yeah, it's
you
over.
You can't go back.
No, exactly.
You are a you're a punk if you go back in after that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right, Paul. That's it. Might be the last time we ever speak to each other.
Could be. You ghost on me. That's all right. I'm done. Message received too, right? Because if maybe they're saying in a not so straightforward way that they don't want to talk anymore, then that's fine too. But you don't go back in again. If you do, you're a punk, 100%.
Let me ask you this, Paul. I've discussed this with Jake. I think me and Nando had this conversation. I noticed you used the term ghosted just now. And the other term for like when somebody's ghosting somebody is like you dubbed them. But why dub? Like, are you familiar with the term getting dubbed? And would you have any idea where that came from?
No, I don't know what that. Honestly, anything I associate with a dub is short for W, so I would associate it as a positive. I've only heard ghosted.
Yeah.
So I don't know that term, to be honest.
Yeah, some people say like you got dubbed, and I'm like, okay, I say it, I use it, I've dubbed people have dubbed me, but nobody knows why dub is. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm old, so when I don't know something, you know my ass runs over to Urban Dictionary and checks it out.
I'm looking it up right now. Urban Dictionary, like right now as we are on here, dub.
Okay, I got a question for you guys then. And we are going to talk pictures. This is the last question before we talk pictures here. Have either one of you ever done the fake butt dial? Like you accidentally dialed the person on purpose to try and get their attention?
Yeah, I've done that. Keep that between the three of us.
I've done the butt text. Same principle. I didn't do the call, though. I sent kind of the jumbled letters like, oh, sorry. I didn't mean to do that. You know, my phone was open in my pocket and I sent some nonsense. Yeah, absolutely.
Here, I got one. I'm gonna take you guys to another level here that I saw my buddy do. Here's the one for you. You do the accidental butt voice text. So like it's just so it's just like.
And what did he say like, though? What?
Yeah, no, you don't say anything. Just you kind of like make like the rub. Yeah, exactly, like that. You make like rubbing noises or something like that, so it sounds like you're sitting on it.
Yeah, that's not
it.
Yeah,
I like it.
That's never happened. I'm in the Urban Dictionary right now. Dub, to talk to someone heavy one day and then completely ignore them from existence the next day. And that's called dubbing somebody.
I guess. I mean,
I don't understand why dub, though. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Why dub? So maybe I'll get to, maybe somebody can figure that out. 844-843-6879.
Paul. Let's talk some pictures.
Yes.
Real quick. Let's I gave you it. A little bit of a list of some guys that I thought are important to talk about, but I don't know if you saw this because you're off at the doctor's. It's B-League, so I don't know how much this matters to anybody, but Ohtani struck out his first 8 batters all on pitches. What does that mean to you?
That is nasty. I mean, here's the thing. Like, for the first start, it meant nothing. The one the other day where he was okay and then gave up the Broxton homer. And a lot of it's not going to mean anything, but with that one, I gave him a complete pass because I can't even fathom the nerves of his first stateside pitching. But the fact that he bounces right back, and again, I don't care if it's a bunch of double A guys. I like that. I'm in on that. You know, the one thing a lot of guys have studied spring training numbers to kind of find out, is there anything we can take from it? And one of the things that really stands out is strikeouts and walks. And I don't think those strikeouts are always being parsed of like, well, these were against major leaguers and these were against minor leaguers. If you're out there missing bats, something's working. So that's impressive. I didn't know that he had done that. That's really impressive to me.
What's going on? What's up with Jake Arrieta?
I don't mess with Jake Arrieta. I'm out on him. I never really been that much in on him. First off, what a dumb first name. So right off the bat, you're kind of dinging him a little bit there.
I'm sorry, Paul. Real. We're losing your connection here. Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, here's the thing. Everything seems labored with him last year. It just seemed like to get through anything, even the good starts, seemed like they were really difficult for him. And Jake Arrieta's been a health concern. He really only has one season over 200. You can give him, you know, 2016, 197. We can round up and say, so he's had two seasons. But then it's 156 in that first breakout season, and then 168 last year. A lot of health concerns before the breakout in Chicago. I just don't mess with him. And first off, I don't mess with guys in the first year of a big deal, and he is going to get some sort of big deal. We don't know exactly what it's going to be yet. So he was a stay away anyway, even before the fact that he's going to have a big deal. But then you just add in that it's going to be a new place and a big contract. and I'm just not messing with him at all.
All right, well, with that same token, then, what's your take on Lance Lynn? Is this the same situation? Like, what's taking so long? Has he lost it? Because he's been one of the more consistent pitchers out there.
I actually like Lance Lynn, and I don't think he's lost it. Now, it's a little bit of, like, a kind of a cutoff sort of thing in terms of, like, what's a big deal? Because I don't know that whatever he gets, what's it going to be, like, 3-58 or something. I don't know. He's going to be something around. I'm bad at guessing contracts. I'm not going to lie. So I don't know if he's going to get 20 mil per year, but it's going to be close. You know, he's going to get mid to upper teens per year for probably three, maybe 4 years if he can stretch that out. But I look, and that home run rate last year, I mean, he doubled his homer to fly ball rate, and the ball was flying out of everywhere. And if you look now, Hit Tracker Online no longer exists, unfortunately, and that used to be a great place to really examine home runs. And I found that both he and Carlos Martinez had a little bit of home run bad luck to the point where I really feel like they're going to regress back near their career levels. And before this season, he was at like a 0.6 homer per nine, and he was at 1.3 last year. This is Lance Lynn. So I think even if he goes to a spot that is a little bit more homer friendly, say like the Brewers, I don't know that he's going to give up 1.3 again. He's a workhorse in a league that no longer has workhorses. So even if you want to tab him for a 3.65 ERA, which would be higher than he's done any of the last 3 years, let's just put him there. But you're going to get that for 190 innings, and it's hard to get guys that are going to go a buck 90 almost guaranteed. And I feel like Lance Lynn is a guaranteed workhorse. So I still really like him, and he's pretty cheap. The market is not all that interested in him because he's kind of boring. I'm going to be investing.
Hey, let me ask you, Paul, who do you think, I hate to just throw a general question out there like this. What do you think of, like, some guys that come to your mind when you think about who could be, like, a couple breakout pitchers that are fantasy owners would be glad to have this season as they, you know, get ready? Who do you think of some guys that are on the cusp of breaking out, kind of like Severino did last year?
See, and the one right off the top, because you mentioned Severino, is Luis Castillo. Now, he's coming at a full price situation in a lot of leagues, so he kind of has to be Severino-esque to pan out. Maybe not to that exact level, but he has to be good. You don't really have a lot of wiggle room with the price that you're paying for Luis Castillo, but I love a lot of what he's got. And yes, it was only 89 innings, but the positive spin on that, you could say, hey, it's a lot like that 91-inning season that Carlos Carrasco had in 2014 with rock-solid skills and great stuff. And I think we could see that out of Luis Castillo, that he is kind of ready to emerge. He has the three pitches. He has swing and miss stuff. He has ground ball stuff. The park is a little bit concerning, which is why his home runs were up a little bit. And so I do still think that that could be an issue. But I really like a lot of what Luis Castillo has. So I understand the hype, but it is a heavy price. On the cheaper tip, I like guys like Garrett Richards. You're really only betting on health. And I grant that he has not stayed healthy the last 2 years at all. He has six starts in each season. But we don't really know as much about health as we think we do. I understand that previous injury is the best indicator of future injury, but that's just an indicator. It's not a guarantee. So again, I would rather bet on a skill set that I think is already intact and then kind of hope I get lucky with health, as opposed to vice versa. Take a healthy guy or a perceived healthy guy and hope that he develops two new pitches or figures out a home run problem and puts his season together that way. So give me the elite skills, and that's what Garrett Richards has. I like Taijuan Walker in Arizona even before the humidor, and now with the humidor, I'm even more in on really the entire Arizona staff. I don't love Corbin out of the five. He's probably my least favorite. But again, the humidor is going to help. It's just going to stifle some home runs. Even if it cuts off four or five home runs, that can be enough to move the needle on his ERA. But I really love Greinke, Walker, and Godley. I like Ray, but he is pretty expensive, so he's got to get those strikeouts. And then Corbin is a pretty fair price as well. So I like the entire Arizona staff there. Jordan Montgomery's fighting for a spot in New York. I hope he gets it. I think he deserves it. I don't think Chad Green is truly going to be a starter. I think they're just kind of stretching him out to kind of humor him, since he put a good season up for him last year. And then last one, I'll let you guys respond. Jameson Taillon out in Pittsburgh came back from that testicular cancer like a hoss. Really pitched well right off the top there. Had a little bit of a lull, like actually maybe like a 10-day run where he had a few bad starts. And if you kind of lift those out, not that they don't count, but if that's your only isolated problem and it wasn't just like a bunch of bad starts, then I'm okay saying, okay, that's probably not something that's going to continue, because then he closed strong as well. He's got a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff, and a great park and prospect pedigree. So I really like Jameson Taillon as well.
Nice.
All right. Well, Paul, we'll get you out of here on this one. You only got about like a minute for this response, though. So,
okay.
Miles Mikolas.
Yes.
Should we be buying in? Should we be getting the hype behind him?
Well, here's the thing. He got his face caved in the first time that he started. And if that really scares people off, then that's great. Let's lower that price down as much as we can. Because here's the thing. There's always a price for somebody. And he's not very expensive even at his peak right now. I think he peaks at around 175 in the NFBC. And that's a pretty fair price. And that's just the peak. His average draft position is around 250, 260. I think it's worth taking a shot. I think the easiest comp is the Colby Lewis comps. Go look at what Colby Lewis did when he first got back from Japan. It might feel lazy, but they have a lot of similarities, so I don't think it's the lazy way out. I think it's a really legitimate comp, and I think he'll be solid for St. Louis. We don't get too hung up on spring training one way or another, so we shouldn't be overreacting to him getting crushed in his first start.
All right. He's Paul Spore. He's one of the best when it comes to fantasy baseball and fantasy baseball pitching, especially. Find him at Fangraphs, at Rotographs, ESPN Daily Notes. And, Paul, I'll see you in 2 weeks, buddy.
I'll see you in a couple weeks, man. Can't wait. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. It's coming up soon.
Yeah, always. Yeah, Tout Wars live in New York coming up soon. By the way, also for everybody out there, if you want, make sure, not if you want, you should want, go check out, did you know it only takes 1 minute to potentially save somebody's life? Seriously, just 1 minute, that's how long it takes to swab your cheeks and join the donor list with DKMS. There's currently over 900,000 registered donors in the U.S., and we need more. There's an American diagnosed every 3 minutes with blood cancer, and there can never be enough donors. For only $45, you can help DKMS register new bone marrow donors. DKMS donors save approximately 19 lives a day. We want you to help save just one. If you can, please go to dkms.org/FNTSY today. Corey, that's about it. We got about like 30 seconds left. You still checking out the combine stuff over there?
I still got some stuff on. I saw where I think Sony Michel ran a 4.5 on. Then as soon as he ran the 4.5, right, they put the graphic up. Player comp, Sony Michel, Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara, Sony Michel player comp is getting lazy at this point.
It was lazy to start with, but yeah. I get it. I mean, you got the success from last year, and they are very similar players. But we got plenty more time to discuss that. Corey will be around discussing it as well this weekend. So make sure you check it out. We'll be back on Monday. Corey Parson, Jake Seeley, it's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Does your fantasy team